ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। वुड लाइक टू वेलकम एवरीवन टू आवर संडे फीस्ट प्रोग्राम। इन दिस सीरीज ऑफ लेक्चर्स दिस मंथ टिल जन्माष्टमी विच इज कमिंग वेरी सून, we have a series of lectures basically the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam and all the different chapters. Devotees in a very ingenious way put a different title for all these chapters, so that simply by coming here for on a regular basis on all these Sundays for next few weeks, you will be able to acquaint yourself with all the transcendental confidential knowledge contained in the most exalted conclusion of all scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam. Today's title is the city of sweet loving exchanges. Basically, this is the 11th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes Krishna's entry into his city, Dwarka. In the previous chapter, it was described how he departed from Hastinapur for Dwarka. And this chapter described his entry. This chapter actually marks the conclusion of Krishna's appearance in the first canto. After this, he will appear as Krishna, the Supreme Lord, only in 10th canto. He's made a brief appearance in four chapters. That is Vyasadeva's genius, which nowadays the Bollywood movies are utilizing. They also introduce their hero and then take back and say, wait till he grows up and then comes in the full form. So, in the 7th chapter, Krishna appears. In the first canto, first chapter, in fact, Bhagavatam begins with description of defining who the Supreme Absolute Truth, Janma Adyasya Yataha. Then in the next chapter, answering the questions of the sages of Naimisharanya to Suta Goswami, the description of the power of devotional service to Krishna is described. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayada Haituka. That if we simply render devotional service to Krishna without even special endeavor, ahaituki prayojanayati, janayati means within our heart, janayati means to take birth. Ashu means very quickly. Two things arise automatically as a result of bhakti. Bhakti gives rise to two daughters or two sons, Jnana and Vairagya. Vairagya means anything that is not connected to Krishna, anything that is not actually beneficial to help us move towards Krishna, to love, to serve, to please Krishna, we automatically, without extraneous endeavor, automatically we develop detachment. I'm not really interested to go to those places, to see these things, to taste these things and to, you know, possess these things, if they're not helping me to serve Krishna. And jnanam, you don't have to study scriptures exclusively to become a scholar. Simply by the process of bhakti, beginning with hearing and chanting, by just hearing and chanting, the name, fame, the qualities, the activities of the Lord, one develops all knowledge. And the purpose of knowledge ultimately is to solve our problems. We're able to solve all the problems. We feel relieved. Shoka, moha, bhayapaha. All lamentations, all illusions, and all fears go away. That is a proof that we are actually traversing the path of bhakti. That is the benefit of jnana. Without necessarily being a scholar or being scholastic. So that is also described. Then it is said, Atma Ramascha Murayo Nirgrantha, even liberated souls are attracted to the beautiful pastimes of the Lord. Then the actual position of the Lord is also described in the third chapter, wherein he says, Ete Cham Shakalapamsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. All these different incarnations, all the expansion, they are just expansion or the expansion of Krishna. But he is the avatari. He's actually the supreme personality of Godhead. So all this is there. But then he's not yet come. He's not yet come into the picture. Then Vyasadeva and Narada. So first three. The first chapter is six questions of the sages. Second and the third chapter answers those six questions. The sixth question is, now that Krishna has departed, where do we turn to for knowledge? Because this began right as Krishna departed 5,000 years ago. Bhagavatam was written, compiled. So he said, now where do we turn to? Bhagavatam. Oh, Bhagavatam, when did this come about? Who compiled it? Under what situation? What was the inspiration behind compiling this? On that note, the fourth, fifth, and the sixth chapter are described. How Vyasadeva was dissatisfied, Narada came, told him, because you are not sufficiently glorified the Lord and his pure devotional service. And therefore he saw in meditation the Supreme Lord, and then he actually compiled Chakre Satvata Samhita. But then, in the seventh chapter, actually, Krishna is introduced. When? Just at the time when Krishna, Kurukshetra war is over, Kauravas are dead, Duryodhan's thigh is broken, is almost lying dead. At that time, Ashwatthama actually kills the five sons of the Pandavas. Arjun takes a vow, I'll kill whoever is that rascal, and runs behind him with a vow to get him back. After cutting his head and bringing him as an offering to Draupadi. And at that time, Ashwatthama, knowing that he is going to be killed, releases a Brahmastra. And Arjuna is shocked and surprised. What's happening? And at that time, he turns to Krishna. So Krishna is introduced. The hero of Bhagavatam is introduced for the first time, sitting on the chariot, as a charioteer of his devotee, as a charioteer of his devotee, as a chauffeur, as a driver. Bhakta Vatsala. ready to serve as devotees, attracted to the devotion of his devotee, reciprocating the love, subjugated by the will of his devotee. That is Krishna. Please try to understand, this is what the Bhagavatam is going to talk about from now onwards. How he reciprocates with Arjun. And as soon as he protects Arjun, suddenly another Brahmastra is released to kill the only heir apparent to the throne, Parikshit Maharaj, who is in the womb of Uttara. And Uttara comes running. She is helpless. Can you imagine a Brahmastra which has the power to destroy the whole universe attacking a helpless child in the womb of a woman? That is the height of helplessness. The height of helplessness is the child in the womb of the mother. And the height of weapon is Brahmastra. This is the highest opposition. The most helpless, the most powerful weapon sent on the most helpless person. Absolutely there is no chance of protection. But what's difficult for Krishna? Mare Krishna rake ke, rake Krishna mare ke. She turns to Krishna. And Krishna again reciprocates. Krishna Krishna Mahabaho Bhaktanam Abhayankara. So Krishna is introduced. What a heroic way to introduce the character. So after his potency is exhibited, next his heart is exhibited. His heart and the heart of his devotees. And then he protects and he said, all right, Hari Bol. Ho gaya sab kaam ho gaya, Kurukshetra ho gaya. Yudhishthira Maharaj established the king, achieved my purpose. Dharma samsthapana arthaya. Dharmaraj, you do the dharma part now. I am going now. And as he is leaving, immediately Kunti comes and starts praying. That's the 8th chapter. And amazing prayer. She's just opening her heart out. Such wonderful, sweet prayers, which is sung by the greatest Paramahamsas since time immemorial. These prayers, since at least 5,000 years. These prayers, the first beginning. It's churning out the heart of Kunti. That if you go away, then better that we were suffering and you were with us. Better like that. Rather than you go away and perfect, I am the queen mother of the emperor of the whole planet. To hell with it. To hell with it. Shunyaitam jagat sarvam. It's a dreary void. Better that I keep on suffering, because that, at least that way you will come to protect us. Can you imagine asking Krishna like that? Knowing fully well that Krishna is ready to reciprocate and say, Tathastu. We were in Jagannath Puri. Few years back, when we were there, one of Prabhupada's disciples, he was praying to Krishna, Jagannath. He said, oh Lord Jagannath, please, please make me helplessly cry for you. And he raised his hand. And when he brought his hand down, his passport, all his money, all the documents that he had, which he had kept right stuck to his body, had disappeared. And really, really, he was helpless for the next 7 days. He had no money, the keys for his room, everything that he had, he was absolutely helpless. And he said, I didn't know Jagannath was so quick to reciprocate the prayers. So knowing fully well, he didn't know, he realized. But Kunti knew, and she's asking this. Vipada, Sant, let it come. What is the heart of these devotees? And then, but then she says, no, my Lord, I understand. Because this is my husband's side, Pandavas. But Vrishnis are my mother's side. So therefore, you are going to Dwarka. If I hold you back, Dwarka Vasis will be deprived of your association. That's very mean of me. And then she says, Toime Ananya Vishaya. Let my consciousness simply flow at your feet. Remove this attachment. Cut off all these knots of attachment which is causing me so many dualities and making me so selfishly ask only for you. I simply want to please you, not possess you. I want to please you, I want to serve you. Krishna says, all right. And then he starts. Going. And suddenly Yudhishthira Maharaj comes and starts crying. He said, my Lord, I fought this battle just because you asked me to fight. And crores of people are killed. I am responsible for it. Because I was lusty after power and position, and therefore I did it. And he starts lamenting, and nobody is able to satisfy him. Just to satisfy him. Krishna says, just because of Yudhishthira's request, Krishna changes his travel plan. He stays for 2 months. Can you imagine God's plan to change? When God, thy will be done. When Lord wills, no power in the whole universe can change his desire, his will. If he wants to do something, Mare Krishna, if Krishna wants to kill someone, anyone dares change that plan and protect that fellow? Yes, his devotee. Krishna had left Sudarshan Chakra on so many people. Never has it ever come back, except whenever the devotee say, chod de yaar, chod de bacha. Bachaya apne ko. Just because Ambarish Maharaj said, he's my guest. Don't kill him right now. He's my guest. Just because of that, wherever Arjuna prayed, when Krishna released his Sudarshan behind this Maidana, he took shelter. He said, all right. Protected. So Krishna, so much subjugated by his devotee, that he changed his plan. God's plan is changed by the desire of a devotee. Of course, the devotees actually understand what is the plan of the Lord. What is the plan of the Lord that we can't understand? Devotees also don't understand, but they become an instrument actually. Sometimes you wonder, was Krishna's plan changed or not changed? Was Krishna's plan to stay? Mahaprabhu wanted to leave. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya requested, stayed for 5 more days. Changed his traveling plan. Of course, at that time, no cancellation, nothing, no extra charges, RAC. He was just walking away. So, that was the power of Yudhishthira Maharaj, to retain back Krishna, change his plan. But Krishna had another plan. Actually, his plan was that, to stay extra. Because he wanted to glorify another of his devotee who was lying there on the battlefield, whose only purpose in life was to glorify the Supreme Lord. And therefore, a law of reciprocation. Krishna wanted to glorify his devotee, Bhishma, who was the most misunderstood person after Vritrasura. Most misunderstood person. And Krishna actually took all and Bhishma wanted to fulfill the desires of Krishna, and therefore Krishna wanted to reciprocate by fulfilling all his desires. And what was Bhishma's desire? Just wanted to remember Krishna, see Krishna before departing. Even he had Ichha Mrityu, he could have died any time. Months together he lied on a bed of arrows. And then came. And his desire was, even at the time of death, there were tears in his eyes. Will the Pandavas ever see some good days? Aho kashtam, aho anyayam, yadyuyam dharmanandana. Aho kashtam. How much sufferings you underwent. How much injustices you underwent for following Krishna. And he was with you. You had the best of everything. Still you suffered. And more than you, your mother suffered. Because when children suffer, children are physically suffering. But the mother, even though comfortably situated one place, she is most miserable to see the child suffer. See, the mother suffered. She became widowed at an early age. She had to take the responsibility of raising all of you. And again, you were being attacked. And she had to witness all this. Witness all the politics going on. Witness all the animosity. All the plans of killing. Will they ever see some good days? And knowing this, Krishna asked Pandavas to dress up in their best ever. Really, Yudhishthira Maharaj, emperor of the planet, really fitting, befitting his position. It's like a jewel put on a gold ring. When we were in Jagannath Puri, one fellow when we go to seashore, take bath, suddenly one fellow comes, Saab, moti chahiye kya moti? And he holds someone. Even if it's precious, the way he holds it in paper, dal mein kuch kala hai, nahi chahiye. But if you take a jewel and put it in a, you know, beautiful gold case, and then, you know, all that, then it stands out. The gold is glorified and the jewel is glorified. So similarly, Yudhishthira Maharaj actually was fit to rule the world. But he was somewhere in Agyatvas. Picked him up and put him in the right place. And Bhishma, to pacify Bhishma, look, Bhishma Dev, you wanted this, right? Just look at them. Ah, now I can die peacefully. And through Bhishma, speaking to Dharmaraj about Dharma, at the time of death, when a person gets actually totally disoriented, you go to some old man about to die, they are babbling something. They don't even know. They are disoriented. Here he was, perfect consciousness, speaking the most intricate aspect of Dharma to none other than Dharmaraj. Not an ordinary thing. You can't speak. No, you can't play chess with the world chess champion unless somebody defeats the world chess champion. That means he must be really... So speaking to Dharmaraj, who can speak Dharma to Dharmaraj? And how can such a person not know Dharma? That is Bhishma, Mahajan. So in this way, reciprocating, Bhishma so pleased, so satisfied, so happy, and is completely focusing on Krishna. Pleased Bhishma, pleased Yudhishthira Maharaj, pleased Kunti Devi. And after that, now he's leaving and all of the people are feeling as if life is going away from their body as he leaves Hastinapur. But life goes away from Hastinapur, but dead body comes alive in Dwarka. Of course, not dead in that sense, because if you're remembering Krishna, the gopis were so intensely remembering Krishna when he left Vrindavan that they were standing like statues, paintings on the wall. But then at that time, their remembrance was 100%. Never ever was their remembrance as deeper and as stronger as when Krishna left. So from a state of trance, suddenly life comes back when Krishna enters Dwarka. And that is the description here. And there are different stages. Krishna enters and he is wanting to reciprocate with the devotees of Dwarka from whom he has gone away for a long time. Therefore, he blows his conch shell to announce, heralding his arrival. And in three verses, beautifully, especially the one particular verse, this blowing of the conch shell of Krishna is glorified and very beautifully explained. And then Krishna enters, and how the Dwarkavasis come running as if iron filing attracted by the powerful magnet. Naturally, helplessly, they are just dragged to run to Krishna just by hearing the sound of his conch shell, Panchajanya. And then he enters, reciprocates with the different people in different ways. They offer so many wonderful gifts. Then he enters deeper, visits all the seniors, the mothers, put him on his lap and bathe him with tears. And after that, he enters into his palace where he actually meets with his queens. So it's becoming more and more intense, more and more deeper, more and more intimate connection with Krishna. First is just hearing the sound and their love is awakened. From there he comes. And then Dwarkavasis. Some are Shanta, some are Dasya. Then Sakhas, he meets all his friends, different way of reciprocating. Then he meets with the Vatsalya, all his mothers. They welcome him. And then there is Madhurya. So intimate reciprocation. So this particular, there is viraha. Everything is described in this four chapters. 7, 8, 9, 10 and 11. Five chapters. Because after this, Krishna is not going to be seen till 10th canto. Therefore, every aspect, a sample of everything is shown here. Krishna's love for his devotees and devotees' love for Krishna. How much they love him. How much they are ready to do anything. And how much the Lord is reciprocating. Actually, that's what all Bhagavatam is all about. Truly speaking. It's all about Bhagavan, Bhakta and Bhakti. Other than these three topics, there is nothing in Bhagavatam. Jayadev Maharaj once very nicely said, two drunkards once met. And you know what they discussed and what they did? Any guess? Aur kya baatcheet hoga? Aur kya kaam hoga? If two solid, seasoned drunkards meet, what are they going to discuss? Stock market? Are they going to discuss about cybernetics, mathematics, chemistry? Yeah, chemistry of different alcohols. Whatever they discuss, again it will come back to kaam ki baat hai. And what will be their activity? Activity will be, chalo, let's get drunk. Similarly, Bhagavatam is nothing about devotees meeting together, devotee and the Lord meeting, and Lord and the devotee meeting. And therefore, because there is Bhakta and Bhagavan and Bhakta and Bhakta and Bhagavan also sometimes. Because different incarnations also meet sometimes. Krishna and Balaram. So therefore, there is simply nothing but the talk of Bhakti. There's nothing but that. One can easily get intoxicated by the discussion of pure, unmotivated, uninterrupted Bhakti. So this is the Vyasadeva is actually introducing that here. So that's what this thing is all about. So, just like there are different laws that govern this world, material laws, right? For example, law of gravitation, law of movement, the law of what else? Chemical laws, biological laws, thermodynamic laws, whatever. So many laws are there. Similarly, there are laws of bhakti. The law of gravitation in bhakti. And what is that? Bhakti attracts Krishna. Sri Krishna Karshani Chasa. Krishna is the supreme attractor. That's why he's called Krishna. Akarshayati iti Krishna. Krishna is all attractive. What is the proof? Anyone who is genuinely attracted to him cannot be attracted to anything else of this world, including Narayan. When the gopis fell in love with Krishna, Krishna wanted to hide from them once he escaped from the Raslila. And he was trying to hide, and the gopis came and suddenly he didn't know where to hide, so he became Narayan. Haribol, where are you going? The gopis said, have you seen Krishna? Now, whoever sees Narayan, finished. They lose their, you know, like completely external. But the gopis said, did you see Krishna? No. Where did he go? With all the four hands, he said, this way. They all left. Of course, when Radharani came, two hands melted. He couldn't hide. Couldn't hide. Nothing is hidden from his devotees. All his internal pastimes, all his desires, nothing can be hidden from his most intimate devotees, because they reside in the heart of Krishna. Sadhavo hridayo mahiyam, sadhunam hridayam tvam. Because they are seated in the heart of Krishna, they know the heart of Krishna. They know what's in his heart. What does he mean when he say this? What does he mean when he do this? So, the first is the law of attraction. It's actually very difficult. Krishna is all attractive. Have you ever heard of... We have all heard that if you keep a small iron filing near a magnet, the iron filing will get attracted. Have you ever heard that a small iron filing attracted a 100-kilo magnet? It will surely come in the Guinness Book of World Records. But that's what it is. Actually, the Lord will be attracted. Now, just by the love of one devotee, Prahlad, 5-year-old boy, one incarnation of the Lord from Vaikuntha was attracted, so much attracted, so quickly, so fast, so powerfully, that he broke the pillar and came out. That's Lord Narsingadev. How much bhakti can be contained in the heart of a 5-year-old? First of all, how is the heart of a 5-year-old? Generally they say, if you want to know how big is your heart, you can't tear like Hanuman, obviously. You can take an x-ray, but still, if you really want to know, very simply, without spending money, fold your hand like this with the, what do you say, the thumb inside. This is the side of a person's heart. That means if you make a fist, that is the size of your heart, not the fellow next to you. If a 5-year-old child is there, the heart is also so big. Small fist. And how many grams of bhakti can be contained in that? But that bhakti in its pure form, when he remembered Narsingadev, the Lord had to come. He couldn't control himself. That is the power of bhakti. It attracts the Lord from the spiritual world to forcefully descend. And the Lord said, I was attracted by the word. He says, yes, my Lord is here in this pillar. He said that. I was attracted by that one statement. Nija bhritya bhashitam. Satyam vidhatam. I want to prove it. What is the necessity? He could have sent so many of his servants to come. He personally came. That is the attractive power of bhakti. Now, in the 11th canto, speaking to Uddhava, Krishna says, I always trail behind my devotee so that I may be purified by the dust of his feet. I mean, this is a little too much. He says, Nirapeksham munim shantam nirvairam samadarshanam anuvrajami aham nityam puyayeti angri renubhihi. A person who is nirapeksha, without any personal desire, munim, always thinking of assisting me in my pastimes, shantam, very peaceful, nirvairam, not inimical to anyone, samadarshanam, equipoised person. He says, anuvrajami aham nityam. I always follow that devotee behind him. Why? Puyeye iti. Puyeya means to get purified. Angri renubhi, so that the dust of my devotee's feet falls on me. Is it really true? The Lord needs to be purified? Of course, Lord is very much attracted. So what is it about my dust that my devotees are always wanting it? He actually showed it to Markandeya Rishi. Kararavinde padaravindam mukharavinde viniveshayantam vatasya patrasya puteshayanam balamukundam manasasmana. At the time of universal annihilation, Markandeya Rishi saw, while swaying to and fro, right there at Jagannath Puri, there's a beautiful place, Markandeya Sarovar. That is a place where he actually saw Krishna on Vatapatra chewing his toe, wanting to know, what's it in my lotus feet? All the devotees, they don't want to see my face also. First your feet, my Lord. I'm more attracted to your lotus feet. I am not qualified for face. I am not qualified for all your transcendental. First your lotus feet. Why lotus feet? Because actually lotus feet means humble service. If you want to simply see Krishna, that means you are trying to enjoy Krishna. But a devotee comes in front of Krishna to be enjoyed by Krishna. Everyone feels happy, right? Somebody comes to see you. You came all the way to see me? Thank you. So we just come to please Krishna because Krishna is pleased. Oh, every Sunday you come to see me? Hari Bol, thank you. Please keep coming more often. Come and see me, watch me, talk to me. That's why he's standing here since so many years. And he's happy if they keep coming. Not that we say three times, Hari Bol, thank you for coming, and then Hari Bol. I regularly keep coming and watching. Very happy. So Krishna is very happy to see, oh, somebody is coming to see me. Who doesn't feel happy? If somebody says, I said, I came all the way just to see you. Krishna feels very happy. So, devotee wants to please the Lord. He doesn't want to hold the face. Behold the face first. As a service he may do it. But he wants to see the lotus feet of the Lord. He wants a place at that. That is his position as a humble menial servant. In fact, Daruka curses himself. Once he was doing chamar seva to Krishna and he was feeling so ecstatic, tears started rolling from his eyes. So he couldn't see Krishna properly and do his service. So he was cursing those tears. He said, to hell with these tears, which is blocking my service. So even that ecstasy is not interested. A devotee is not interested in that. He is interested in pleasing Krishna. So, the first is the law of gravitation, where the devotee moves and the Lord is also wanting to. So here he is telling that I am purified by so what is the logic? The logic is Krishna wants to say, please try to understand how pure is the dust of my devotee's feet. If you want to overcome lust, the only way is pure devotee's dust. Of course, Krishna is supremely pure, but he has the whole universe inside him. To purify them, he takes the dust. To show to the whole world, power of the dust of the lotus feet of his devotees. He doesn't need it, but he just to show. Bina mahatpada rajobhishekam nishkinchananam na vrinita yavat. Unless bina mahatpada raja abhishekam. You have to do abhishek with that. Then, and what kind of person? Nishkinchananam. A person who has no other desire. Krishna, your desire is my desire. Whatever you desire, that's my desire. That is becoming desireless. This philosophy, Buddhist philosophy of becoming desireless. How can you become desireless? Even to become desireless is a desire. Right? I want to become desireless. That's a desire. You can't be desireless. Why we want to become desireless? Because this desire leads to so many problems. Therefore, we want to give. The best is, if you want to finish off your desires, remove all your personal desires, which is satisfying your personal interest, and understand from Guru and Shastra, what is Krishna's desire? And make his desire your desire. His mission, your mission. His needs, your needs. His interest, your interest. His concern, your concern. Then, in one sense, you are Krishnaized fully. Fully Krishnaized. So that is actually what Krishna is wanting to show when he wants to take the dust from the feet of his devotee. So Krishna says, since I have established this rule, I will also follow this. I have told all the people the glory of his devotee. So I want to do it myself. Actually, he doesn't need it, but he just wants to show. Then there is the law of reciprocation as Dwarka. So this is the first attraction. Krishna blew his conch shell and immediately everyone was attracted. The law of gravitation. And actually Krishna was also attracted. That's why he came all the way to meet his devotees. And blowing his conch shell is very interesting. The law of reciprocation. The next law after law of gravitation, then there is the law of reciprocation. Reciprocation means yayatha mam prapadyante. As you reciprocate, the Lord also reciprocates. Krishna is the same. Krishna doesn't act differently for different people. He's the same. However you want to relate to him, he's going to relate to you. It's amazing. The same Hare Krishna Mahamantra, which is like a life and soul for his devotees. Anywhere they hear, they want to run to that place and hear and be a part of that. But the same thing can be the most fearful thing or the most horrible thing for someone. The other day in Moscow, we were going for a Harinam Sankirt. I didn't know where they are going. We drew a long distance and there was a place where they have all this shopping, huge shopping place. It's like Linking Road or something like that, where basically shopping area. So all the devotees went there and we started Harinam and beautiful. They have amazing 3-4 hours of Harinam. And they stand sometimes and most of the foreigners, every third fellow may be a Russian. Most of others are all from all other countries. All of them, they come there. So they were standing there and doing very nicely dancing and doing kirtan. And I saw two different reactions from, of course, various kinds of responses. One lady, she was walking with her husband and suddenly she said, she took her camera out, she put it in the hand of her husband and she came in the group and started dancing. Suddenly she came next to me and started dancing along with him. And of course she was looking at her husband and he was taking the photograph. Suddenly she looked at me and I was a little trying to dance this. She understood that, oh, maybe it's a little uncomfortable. So then she looked at all the Matajis are on one side. So she went and was dancing with them for almost like 2 minutes. And after taking photographs, then she left. That's all. Had a good time. Basically she wanted to take a photo. Then she went and started eating whatever. And few steps later, I saw one person coming there. Suddenly, as soon as he saw and he heard the sound, suddenly he took his two fingers and pressed his ears as if, you know, he's trying to contact them within his ears. So that even the tiny fraction of the sound by chance should not enter his ear. And his face was also so much contorted, as if it was the most obnoxious sound ever he wants to hear. And for a long time he kept like that. And then he opened his ears after a distance. And I was thinking, I only wish I had the faith that he has in the power of his sound. See, he has full conviction, looks like. If this sound enters, it's going to transform my heart. Otherwise, I was thinking, how is it? By chance, if it enters, it is very potent. So I said, I wish I had that faith. That, hey, bada potent hai. Kaan mein ghus gaya na. Bahar nahi niklega, atak jayega. Tribhanga hai. Naam bhi tribhanga hai. Krishna, you know, Ram is very straight. Krishna. Very difficult to remove once it's stuck inside. So this is the kind of reciprocation that it is fear personified. Kamsa, it was creating so much fear in him. The name of Krishna, the sight of Krishna, he just wanted to kill. It's amazing. Same sound. But Mallanam, Ashani Nanam, Naravaro, Strinam, Smaro, Murtiman. Krishna and Balaram are entering the Mathura, that palace, Rangamanch, the pavilion. Different people are reciprocating in different ways, and Krishna is amazingly able to reciprocate with everyone. Sometimes we wonder, we have a scarcity mentality when we come to Krishna consciousness. We carry it from the outside world. In outside world, more number of people, less product we get. Because demand is more. No? If I have only 2 kilos of sweets and 100 people come, then I'll get less. So when we come here and say, why so many devotees are here? If Krishna gives his mercy to everyone, I will not get anything. Devamrita Maharaj says, first time when he heard the word remnants, he was thinking, yahan aise hota hoga sab. सब खाने के बाद जो बचता है वही मिलता है. Some crumbs, some remaining crumbs you get. So first you would say, first give me the prasad, first give. Because remnants will be given to. Oh yeah, everything is remnant here. And there are a lot of remnants, you know. Everything is remnant itself. So we have this scarcity mentality, not knowing that Krishna can personally reciprocate with each and everyone exactly which is satisfying for that person. It's amazing. This is the inconceivable power of Krishna. Every gopi thought, he's dancing only with me. She was pitying the other gopis. Poor gopis. And surprisingly, everyone was thinking about the others like that. So that is the power of reciprocation of Krishna. Why does he do this? Why does... What exactly is happening? All are his part and parcels. He is the whole. And how is he getting attracted to all this little stuff? Little bhakti here and there. How is he getting attracted? What's the funda here? It is explained... Bhakti is the internal potency, the Ladini Shakti, pleasure potency of Krishna. Bhakti is actually the pleasure potency of Krishna, which he plants in the heart of a devotee. Satchit Ananda. He plants the heart of all these devotees, little drop of it. Whoever has this, of course everyone has this in a dormant state. But when you revive it, what is the manifestation? A devotee sincerely wants to serve Krishna. Why? Because that tendency to find happiness, all of us are looking for happiness. But we don't know where to find it. But that's because the dormant thing is there. The day we want to serve Krishna, which is actually the purpose of that service, we want to serve, and that service fulfillment is when it is Krishna is the person who is accepting. To explain this, now, Krishna is Atma Ram. In this particular verse, I would like to read this verse. As he entered Dwarka, he says, the citizens arrived before Lord with their respective presentations, offering them to the fully satisfied and self-sufficient one. Offering something to the fully satisfied and self-sufficient. Isn't it contradictory? If you are fully satisfied, why to offer? If you are self-sufficient, what do you need? So why does Krishna want to reciprocate if he is Atma Ram, Purna Kam? He says, Jiva Goswami gives a very beautiful example of a flute and a flute player. He says, there is a person who knows music very nicely. Now he wants to sing, or he wants to make very pleasing sound through the air that comes from his mouth. So there is one way to do it is to whistle. Right? He can whistle. What is wrong? But he says, no, it's me maja nahi hai. Sirf thoda upar niche hota hai bas. So he makes a flute and makes a lot of holes in it. And then he starts playing on the flute. And when the same air goes through the flute and comes from the flute in different ways, in different combination and permutation, it becomes 1,000 times more melodious and charms the heart of the flute player. He says, wow, I could have never whistled like this. He said, he's like that. Krishna is Atma Ram Purna Kam, but another aspect of his is, he's unlimited. His ananda is also unlimited. Therefore, he expands himself into many parts, and in each part he deposits his internal potency, and each one is unique. Each one is different. When that same Hladini Shakti manifests through that particular devotee who has a particular nature, particular bhava, particular attitude, he sees so many varieties of reciprocation. And Krishna is actually captivated by that. So many devotees wants to serve Krishna in so many different ways. That's the fun. Variety is the mother of enjoyment. Every day you get first class item, but the same item, morning breakfast, afternoon lunch, and evening dinner for the rest of eternity. Isn't it boring? Subah kya hai? Khichdi. Dopar ko? Khichdi. Sham ko? Khichdi. 3 saal ke baad? Khichdi. Not even variety of khichdi. Same khichdi. As soon as I got down in Ukraine at airport, I went out. I said, wow, nice place. And they were driving in a huge coniferous kind of trees. I said, who? What is this? He said, the coniferous tree. Oh, they were driving and driving miles together. No other tree? Yeah, only this tree. After some time, you get bored to see the same tree again and again. I said, India, we have so many different trees. What fruits you get? Fruits, one or two fruits. What about sabji? Potato. And carrot. So tomorrow, same potato and carrot, but cut in different sizes and different shapes. Sometimes it is squeezed and mashed and boiled and fried and whatever. But it's the same thing. One devotee said, whole of Russia, he said, the whole of Russia, the amount of bears is more than the number of people. The population of the bear is more than the population of the people in Russia, it seems. Especially if you go to the northern side. So the devotee said, "Tumhare pure Russia mein alu aur bhalu." Aur kuch hai hi nahi. What is the variety, you know? If you just go to some houses in London, I saw same houses. Same house. Sometimes you wonder which street I am. It doesn't really matter which street. Every street looks the same. Same houses, same design, same. You get boring after some time. So variety is actually the mother of enjoyment. And Krishna reciprocates. Each of his devotees in the same mood, but if you find the Gwal in all the covered boys, all of them are different. All of them are unique. All reciprocate with Krishna in a very unique way. No individual is alike in this whole creation. No individual is alike. No one's reciprocation is. Everyone is alike in that sense. Both are trying to reciprocate. But each one has a unique flavor. Because Krishna is a supreme enjoyer. He really knows how to enjoy. He knows real variety. He has created that variety. So Krishna does this so that he can actually enjoy. And Ladini Shakti is very sweet, but it's thousands of times more sweeter when with different bhava and different rasas, the same seva is rendered by different devotees in different moods. And that Krishna very much enjoys. And another amazing thing is, the more a devotee desires to serve Krishna, the more Krishna's desire increases to taste that service. That's another thing. The more a devotee's desire to serve Krishna is strong and intense, Krishna's desire to taste that devotion is also not only intense, but it is pure. Just like anything, any item, when it's pure, you like it, right? Pure ghee, not dalda. Pure. Anything pure, you like it. So when the devotee's desire is pure and intense, Krishna wants to taste that. Actually, he's not concerned with what you offer. Different devotees may offer. Sudama offered him some cheap rice, begged from different houses. And Shabari offered, you know, some fruits that were available in locally. But what actually Krishna was relishing was the taste. Lord Ram or Krishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was relishing was their desire to serve. So actually that's what we should desire. It is only because of desire that we came to this world. It is only because of our desire that we are rotting in this world. And it is only because of desire that we will one day go back to the world, spiritual world. All is based on desire. A wrong desire brought us here. Wrong desires are continuing to hold us here. And it is the perfect desire. And what is that desire? What is the purpose why we were created? To serve Krishna. So that he enjoys and you really enjoy. He wants us to enjoy. So when that desire is actually reciprocated, so Krishna wants to taste that. And to the extent Krishna relishes, the devotee's desire increases. And devotee's desire increases, Krishna's desire increases. And this is always dui lage huda hudi. It's like competition going on. Let's see. Who will do more? The example is given. To the extent you have hunger, to that extent you can relish the food. The food will be tastier to the extent you are hungry. If you are not hungry, Even the best of food kept in front of you. Kal. Dekhenge wo bhi. If you have overdose of something, at least for 1 week you don't want to see that item. Even the best of items. Unless there is hunger, there is no taste for food. It is said when Krishna went to Hastinapur, Duryodhan called him and offered him chapan bhog. Krishna said, I heard a devotee saying, two reasons why people eat. One, if they are hungry. And even if they are not hungry, if someone offers something with so much love, you can't refuse. Sometimes you're full, but still someone says, something, oh, really? Thank you. Even if it's a little over, still you take. So, two reasons. One is hunger, another one is love. So, Krishna told Duryodhan, I am not hungry and you are not offering with love. So, there is no question of me eating. You have a full hidden agenda. You're offering chappan bhog and you want me to get chappan, you know, Akshavani Sena to join you. I know why you're offering this. It is written clearly in your food. I'm not interested. So, what he really wants is that simply a desire to please Krishna and serve Krishna. In fact, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is that incident, Madhvendra Puri, who is in Mahaprabhu's sampradaya, Mahaprabhu's guru's guru, Ishwar Puri's guru, Madhvendra Puri. He was the first person who introduced Madhurya Ras in our sampradaya, in Brahma Madhva sampradaya. Till then it was not manifest or known. So Madhvendra Puri came while traveling and he came to Vrindavan. He went around Govardhan, sat at Govindakund, and he was just chanting the holy name and in the middle of the he had a particular vritti. He had his nature. He had a rule. He would never beg anyone for anything, for food, ever. By chance, if someone got him food, he would eat. Ayachaka vritti, it's called. Yachana, yachana means to beg. Ayachaka vritti means a vow that for the rest of my life, if nobody gives me food, I may die, but I will never ask for food from anyone. So traveling, simply traveling, and throughout the day just chanting. Even you won't sleep also because you just lie around a tree on the, you know, and just go on chanting in case he got some sleep in between. We chant in between. But Madhvendra Puri would sleep in between sometimes throughout the day. So, sometimes. And suddenly he just kind of, and a small boy came, beautiful looking boy. And his charming words, he said, Baba, looks like you are hungry, you have not eaten, take this pot of milk and drink. Just Madhvendra Puri, seeing the beauty of this boy, all his hunger, all his tiredness, everything went away. But still he said, how did you know? How did you know that I was fasting? How did you know that I have not eaten anything? He said, in my village, no one fasts. Generally, people beg. If not, they, you know, get what they drink, some milk. But if they don't, then I personally supply. He said, some ladies, they saw since morning, they were drawing water from the well and they saw you were sitting there. You have not. Therefore, they sent this to give it to me. Oh, okay, now drink now. I have to go because I have to take the cows are coming in the evening. I have to milk them. So I will come and take back the pot. You keep it with you. And he went. Madhvendra Puri was watching him for a long time. Then after he went, he drank the milk. The milk was like nectar. He drank it. Washed the pot. And he was waiting for the boy to come. Oh, that sweet boy. Where did he go? He hasn't come, hasn't come. And throughout the night he was chanting. Again he went to kind of dozed off a little. He lost his external consciousness. We sleep. But the great souls, they have vision. Sometimes we dream. It says Madhvendra Puri dreamt. But there's a difference between our dreaming and the pure devotees dreaming and Krishna coming in their vision. What is the proof? In the dream, whatever Krishna says, things that do happen. We'll see here. So Madhavendra Puri kind of was dozing. Suddenly Krishna, this boy, same boy came. And he said, I am Gopal. I am Govardhandhari. I am the resident of this place. I am the master of this place. And I was on top of this hill. Vajranab, the grandson of Krishna, established me there. But then, recently when there was an attack of a Yavana's, fear of that attack, this Pujari hid me in the bushes and he went away. And I am feeling very hot. I'm feeling very miserable. I'm very suffering from rain and cold and heat. Please take the help of villagers and get me out. And then Gopal said a very interesting thing. He said, Bahudino tomar patha kari nirikshan, kobe asi madhavama karibe sevan. He said, Bahudino tomar patha kari nirikshan. O Madhavendra Puri, in the dream, Lord Gopal said, Bahudino tomar patha kari nirikshan. I was waiting for you. When will Madhavendra Puri come? Kobe asi madhav ama karibe sevan. When will Madhavendra Puri come and render service to me? Tomar prema vashe kori seva angikar, darshan diyani starivo sakala samsar. Tomar prema vashe kori seva angikar. I don't need service. I don't need any service. I'm not in need. I have no desires. I can fulfill all my desires in my own way. I don't need any of this. Toma prema vashe kari seva angikar, darshan diya nistariva sakala samsar. He said, you are so eager to serve me. And I am hungry for that service attitude. That love that you want. You know, love means to serve. What is the use of love without serving? And to serve means to please. What is that use of service which is not pleasing? So because a pure devotee simply wants to please the Lord, serve the mission of the Lord is so eager, waiting to actually reciprocate. And he wants to reciprocate. So he said that, I am waiting for you. And said, he could have told, so many years had gone by, he was suffering also. He could have told anyone in any of the people there, in the locals, he could have come in their dream. But he was waiting for Madhavendra Puri and actually reciprocated. So, this is the hunger of Krishna. He's bhavagrahi. He's desperately looking for that service, for that loving service. Yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti upahartam ashnam. Of course, love means to do your best. To do your best. Whatever Sudama offered, it was the best he could get. It's not that because he offered, we also offered the same thing. Shabari gave Lord Ram the best that she could have, possess. Now a question may arise. How can Krishna accept devotee's service if the Lord is transcendental, in a transcendental plane, and devotee is in a material plane? He's in a material plane. And if Krishna has no need of service, he has no hunger, he has no thirst, he doesn't feel cold, he doesn't feel heat. We are in a body. We are in matter. We have a material body. We have a material consciousness. We are working in this material world full of material atmosphere. We have material desires. And Krishna is completely transcendental, completely spiritual. How can we serve? And how can he accept? The attraction of devotee's service makes the Lord to come in a vigraha form and accept all the limitations of a vigraha. The Lord is captured by that love of his devotee, and to reciprocate with the desire, sincere, little desire to serve the Lord takes the limitations, takes in the form of a vigraha and comes with the limitations of a material vigraha. This vigraha can't move. You have to put him in a cradle and move. You have to put him in a palanquin and take him. The Lord can't bathe himself. You have to bathe him. He can't dress himself, just like a child helplessly sitting there. You have to actually take him up, bathe him, dress him. The Lord accepts this kind of a form very mercifully, simply to reciprocate with the love of his devotee. Who you want to serve me? I will come in a helpless form. I am completely helpless. If you don't feed me, I will continue to be hungry. If you don't bathe me, I'll just stand there. After calling, you should neglect. A big responsibility after inviting the Lord. Should serve. He has come only because we wanted to serve. Now we have to serve. We have to please him. Of course, the way he wants us to serve, not the way we want to serve. One time Prabhupada went in Chennai, and one lady, life member's house, and he saw Krishna was dressed, Radharani was dressed in jet black dress. No design, no embroidery, nothing. Jet black. As if both are mourning. They were mourning for this couple. We will know why. So Prabhupada said, what is this? Why you dress them in black? He said, Swamiji, the Brahman effulgence coming from this is so strong to cover that, you know. So this is, you know, so speculating. And they were both insisting. Speak about Rasleela. Please speak about, Swamiji, please speak about Rasleela. Prabhupada would avoid and speak about many other things. When they pushed too much, he said, you may be ready to hear about Rasleela, but I am not qualified to speak Rasleela. Showing them that how foolish it is to jump into the 10th canto. First catch hold of the lotus feet, Baba. The first two cantos are the lotus feet. First try to behold the lotus feet. Be qualified first to look at the face. This purifies us actually. This service purifies us. So, Krishna comes in this particular form, in a helpless form, and we have to serve according to the scripture. He says, that what actually pleases him? He says in the scriptures, this is what pleases me. If you come and chant, if you come and reciprocate. So, does he pretend to do so? Does he pretend that he is helpless? Actually, no. By the Leela Shakti or Yoga Maya, Krishna actually forgets, by his own inconceivable Leela Shakti, he forgets his divinity and feels all the feelings the devotee himself feels. He feels hunger like we feel in this material world. He feels thirsty as we feel, to fulfill the devotee's desire to relish his devotional service. That is called mukdhata. That is the supreme absolute truth that we are dealing with in Srimad Bhagavatam. It is not God. That is the supreme absolute truth. What is the difference between God and supreme absolute truth? Burijan Prabhu once was telling, he said once he went to Italy. In Italy, he went into a church, huge church. And there he saw some glass paintings, colored glass paintings like that. And beautiful, where there is the picture of, there is a powerful light coming. That's, you know, coming from the spiritual realm. powerful light coming, and the devotee is going like this, holding his hand as if he's not able to tolerate the light. He's holding his hands against his face. So powerful the God is. Even his light, the Brahman effulgence is so strong that a devotee can't hold. This is God, the unlimited, the powerful, who's beyond all our understanding. But then, what is the concept of Vrindavan? Krishna, the Supreme Absolute Truth, in his abode, Vrindavan. Mother Yashoda is holding a stick and the Supreme Absolute Truth is going like this. Please, Mother, please, 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 don't beat me. Who can understand this? Bhurijan Prabhu was saying. Who can understand this? Who can understand this? God is going like this. Three times he said, to emphasize, they can't understand. People can't understand. This is God. Helplessly watching. One of our MLAs or something, he became a very powerful person and very effective fellow, but lack of understanding, ignorance. He said, I became an atheist because one day I saw a rat going on top of the deity, going on top of the idol. That's what he said. And then I said, how he can help us? He can't even protect himself from the rat. And he became an atheist. As soon as I read that article, I really thought of picking up the phone and talking to this fellow and saying, you fool, you forget, Krishna is the father of 84 lakh species, including the rat. So if a child is crawling onto you, if a mother crawls onto the child, a child crawls onto the mother's body, should she protect herself from the child? She say, kam se kam pehli baar aaya 84 lakh brahman karke. Chal sahi jagah pe aaya. Wo mahaprasad khale, kuch to khale. So, the Lord is so merciful. He tolerates all the nonsense. Sometimes in the process, I remember when I was very young, my mother would bake chapatis and I would like to help. 4 or 5 year old. So sometimes we see children wanting to help. I also want to make chapati. Okay, you take that mud there and make some chapati. No, I want to make chapati like you. Take. She would pluck a little dough and take one little plate. One plate you turn upside down and you take one, some rod or something and then. And it would sometimes look like Africa and Australia. Practically all the map put together. And you say, very nice. Put it in the tawa and then. By the time I remove it, it would have been burnt. I said, very nice. Now you eat it. Realize what you have made. Basically, she tolerates the enthusiasm of the child to serve her, to help her. But that help, what is that help? It's actually a botheration. But the mother sees the intention of the child. Oh, she's come to help me. Poor mother is doing so much. I will also help you. I want to make chapati. So it's like that. Who are we to serve Krishna? Does he need our service? Lakshmi sahasra shata sambrahma sevyamana. But he's so merciful. He comes and stands. Yes, Baba, aajao. Darshan karna chahte ho? Aajao. Har roj milega. Prasad ka arpan karna chahte. Bhog arpan khao. Prasad bhi khao. Kuch khaunga nahi, tu hi kha. Jo bhog lagaya, tu hi kha. Sirf darshan karunga. So merciful. He's just giving us an opportunity. So, he's not pretending. To the extent we have deep desire, pure desire, sincere and intense desire, that I want to please Krishna. Krishna, I want to just please you. Please tell me what pleases you. Sing for me. Dance for me. You will enjoy. I have better dancers in the spiritual world. I have to tolerate your dance. Still, this is like a broken words of a child. The mother says, "Oh, so nice, so nicely you sung." What kind of thing? We know what it's a song is. But still, they tolerate. Oh, very nice. She does that. Krishna appreciates. And he actually reciprocates. Because you are trying your best, I will shower that mercy. And because of that, the desire increases. And when the desire increases, Krishna's hunger increases. And Krishna's hunger increases, to the extent Krishna's hunger increases, then this food of our desire to please him satisfies him more. Because to the extent you are hungry, food satisfies you. To the extent he's satisfied, his mercy flows. To the extent his mercy flows, your devotion increases. Such an amazing loving reciprocation. That's what the deity is here for. So, actually, Krishna's entering into Dwarka was a festival. It's actually a festival. And Bhurijan Prabhu very nicely explains. I would like to just conclude with this particular quotation from his book. To this particular chapter in his book, Unveiling His Lotus Feet. Desiring to experience the ecstasy of greeting Krishna, all the Dwarkavasis ran forward simply with a desire to greet Krishna. So desiring to experience the ecstasy of greeting Krishna, conditioned souls caught beneath the cloud of illusion may also taste a sweet drop of this joyous ocean. It's an ocean. But we may at least taste a drop by visiting him in his temples, especially during celebrations like Janamashtami and Jhulan Yatra or Rath Yatra, wherein he accepts worship as the deity. Whether one is qualified or unqualified, good or bad, if one approaches Krishna and sincerely offers him whatever he or she is capable of offering, Krishna will reciprocate with auspicious benediction. And what is that auspicious, most auspicious benediction? The most beneficial of which will be a deepening of one's desire to serve him. More and more desire to serve him. If you have a desire to serve, it is a sign of love. It's not that suddenly one day, Akashvani will come. Prabhu, you have now love of Krishna. From a sadhaka, you have become a bhava bhakta. Here is the certificate. Day after tomorrow, I will send you the prema bhakta certificate. Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, Sarvam. I know. It's that every time he gives darshan, we want to come and greet him. We want to see him. We want to please him. We want to dance for his pleasure, sing for his pleasure. And being the mood of the servant, please his devotees. By doing whatever little we can to the best of our ability. And what is the reciprocation? That if it is accepted, if it is done sincerely, to the best of our ability, Krishna increases the desire to serve. For that, even if you don't come, even for one, if you miss out even one day or one darshan or 1 week or whatever is your frequency right now, you should feel, I have not yet seen for a long time. Just like the Dwarkavasis ran, thinking, oh my God, he's come for after a long time. It's our good fortune he has come to give his darshan. And therefore they come running. That is love. Of course, they are bhava bhaktas. They are the devotees who have descended from the spiritual world to assist him and to demonstrate what it means to be a great devotee of the Lord. But we, in our insignificant way, by the mercy of the great acharyas, as Gopal told, he says, Tomar prema vashe kari seva angikar, darshana diya nistariva sakala samsar. See, two things the Lord is telling. Tomar prema vashe kari seva angikar. Actually, I will come to accept your loving service. But in the process, darshana diya nistariva sakala samsar. I will deliver the whole world by giving my transcendental darshan. Similarly, way back in early 70s, this was revealed, this confidential secret was revealed in 96, I think, when Shyam Sundar Prabhu came here, right here, sitting here on this Vyasasana. Then Srila Prabhupada came to Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan. He was invited. After the program, Shyam Sundar Prabhu was walking behind and Prabhupada came out. And as they came out, Prabhupada was holding the stick. He stood on the steps of Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan and he looked around and pointing his cane, he said, we should have a temple in this neighborhood. These were his words. He says, we should have a nice temple in this neighborhood. So it was a desire of a devotee that Krishna, if you appear here, such wonderful service can be rendered to you. That was a desire of a pure devotee. Brahmaji says in the Bhagavatam, because I am a 100% sold out devotee of the Lord, whatever comes out from my mouth, Krishna has to prove it right. He's forced, he's so obliged, whatever he says, Krishna has to fulfill it. Satyam vidhatum nija bhritya bhashitam. Once some devotee desires something, because devotee has no other desire. His desire is to please Krishna. So when he desires something, Krishna sometimes asks devotees, ask Baba, ask. He was asking Prahlad, ask beta, ask. I am not a baniya, my Lord. I am not a baniya. I am not doing devotional service to ask you. Agenda of 20 items I have, and now 20 offerings I am making, so that after you appear, dekho 12, 20 items lagaya hoon, ye 20 demand hai mera. So no, I simply want to please you. If you are pleased and satisfied, give me more service. That's why the Lord appears. And that's why the Lord doesn't appear before us. Because he knows he will give a full agenda. And we have unlimited desires. Actually, Krishna won't mind. But those desires are actually not beneficial for us. Ama bhaje visha visha mange. Ei bada murkha. He worships me and rascal asks me, if your child pleases you and you ask, beta, what do you want? Tick 20 to drink and die. Which mother will give? So we come in front of Krishna, Krishna, I am dancing for you. After dancing, give me a little poison. Manusha janama paiya, Radha Krishna na bhajiya, janiya sunya vishakai. And we are asking for this, give me another piece of glass so that I can crush it and bleed myself to death. Why will he give? He's not a fool. He says, you are a fool. You are asking me wrong thing. I am not a fool. I am not going to give you what you want. Because right now your wants are not what you need. I will only give you what you need. Amrita diya. Visha bhulaiba. I will give you such nectar that you will forget what you came to ask for. And then you will say, kis liye aaya tha, chi 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 chi. Many years later you will say this. Like Dhruva Maharaj. He said it in 6 months, of course. Dhruva Maharaj said it in 6 months. Krishna, I came for a piece of glass. And what was that piece of glass? A planet better than Brahmaloka. And he's comparing it to a glass. And Krishna, you gave me a diamond. Therefore, anyone who has come here is a very fortunate soul. They may have come to ask for, my girlfriend is very not happy with me. Make her attracted to me as you are very attractive. Whatever, we may come asking for any nonsense. But he will attract your heart and you will forget your attraction for what you came for. If you at all are attached to any other thing, please don't come here again. Please. Serious. Because if you are attached to this person, all other things will go away very quickly. Quicker than you think. But then he removes all that and gives us pure nectar. So, festival should be celebrated in a very grand way. And we are very, very happy to announce next week we are having a very, very special festival. And that is the birthday of Radha Gopinath. You may say, Prabhuji, Janmashtami to August mein hai. This is Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva. That he was born on this universe. To this universe he appeared. Of course, he appeared. He is always there. He appeared. That is the anniversary that we are celebrating on Janmashtami. But every temple has their own special birthday. That's called Brahmotsav. Right now we were in Moscow and there they were having the deities and also the 40th anniversary of Prabhupada's coming to Moscow. They had a 9-day festival. Beautiful, amazing. We'll discuss some other time. All the devotees sharing, 70s people sharing their realization, 80s, 90s, different situations and how the Lord reciprocated, how a pure devotee reciprocated with their desire to please Krishna and serve Krishna in those countries also. At that time, communist, solid, pure iron curtain. So, it is a appearance day of the lordships. It is the anniversary of their appearance. And we will have a small brief announcement about what are the special items that we are going to have in this festival. And there is amazing opportunity for all of you to render personal service to Radha Gopinath. If we only have a genuine, sincere, little desire, and if we can only give, as it says, I would like to read this. Whether one is qualified or unqualified, good or bad, if one approaches Krishna and sincerely offers him whatever he or she is capable of offering, Krishna will reciprocate with auspicious benedictions. The most beneficial of it, which will be a deepening of one's desire to serve him. Unless one becomes attracted to, unless one becomes attracted to festivals in the temple, one's mind will remain bound by attraction to material festivals. So many festivals, college festivals we have. Some excuse to have a festival. It is a perverted reflection. We also need some excuse to have a festival. One time one lady sponsored a feast. Why? Her dog died. Shyamananda Prabhu said, good excuse to have a festival. Of course, the dog brought them to Krishna consciousness. It's a big story. So on the departure of the dog's 13th day, so Shyamananda Prabhu was announcing, he said, this name for which we are sponsoring the Sunday feast may seem a little funny if you say Tommy, so you may wonder. So he said, please be ready. Very special person's name we are sponsoring the Sunday feast. So devotees need some excuse to have a festival. Because the festival for Krishna is when devotees come together and sing and chant, take pleasure in glorifying him and getting a lot of benedictions. So tomorrow, next week we'll be having and Gaur Gopal Prabhu will be announcing the speciality of this time's Radha Gopinath's appearance festival, and we hope and pray that most as many as possible devotees can come and render service in whatever possible way. There are so many options. You can do that and receive the benediction of a deepening of a desire to serve Him more and perfect our lives. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.